Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, I gave an example of something that happened on a St. Louis radio program that really does speak to one of the great challenges we face today when discussing the gospel and discussing the nature of saving faith. This was a radio program, of course, designed on to discuss that day about the nature of saving faith. And so this radio host brought in this well-known professor of theology, and he started out the program and said, "Tonight we're going to talk about faith." And so he turned to his doctor friend and said, "Dr. So-and-so, would you please tell me about faith?" And he started off by saying, "I'm not going to talk about faith. Not going to do it." This, of course, caught the host off guard, and he said, "Well, that's the subject. If you're not going to do it, what do you want to talk about?" He says, "I want to talk about Jesus." And the announcer, of course, knowing that the program was 45 minutes, started getting very nervous, but the professor proceeded from that point for 45 minutes to talk about the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and how a sinner is right with God. And at the end of the program, the professor ended, and he looked over at the host and he said, "Now, sir, I've just shown and demonstrated faith without ever even mentioning the term." His faith had no value in and of itself. And that's why he didn't want to talk about himself. All he wanted to talk about was Jesus. And in doing that, he was demonstrating that he had saving faith. Because the fact is, as one of our confessional statements says, it's not any value that my faith has that makes me right with God, but only Christ and His righteousness. Often we treat faith sort of like a light switch that is in all of us. As long as we sort of direct it toward the right cause and the right person, well, then it has value. But that's not how the Bible views faith. Faith itself, as we've been looking at in Ephesians chapter 2, is a gift of God. By grace, we are saved through faith. And our faith is shown when we put our hope and our confidence in Jesus alone. He is the source of all the great blessings. And so we considered yesterday that faith is that instrument that embraces Christ. But the value, the benefits, the strength, the power is all in Christ alone. The radio host was so moved by that day. The next day he had an open time of testimonies, and often he had been doing this, and he said, "Today we're going to have testimony time, but there's one condition. You cannot mention yourself." Well, for the whole hour, nobody called in. You see, we're so focused on ourselves today that really Christ and His gospel has become eclipsed even in those who profess Him. We need to return to understanding this great truth of Ephesians chapter 2, that we have been saved by grace through faith alone. Now, the question then is, what kind of faith do we have? There are different types of faith, of course, presented in the Bible. There were people who had historical faith. There were people who believed that Jesus could do certain things and His miracles, but they didn't have the kind of saving faith that He was calling people to have. The kind of saving faith that He was calling people to have is often witnessed in these broken people who would come to Jesus, who were filled with problems and had nowhere else but to lean fully upon Him for deliverance. That's when you know and see a heart of true saving faith, in people like the paralytics that came to Him, the blind, all the miserable, all the people who had physical infirmities, the lepers. They all came to Him, and they had to completely rely and lean upon Him, because without Jesus, they were done. Now, what then is true faith? Well, true faith is composed of three things. It's a sure knowledge of Christ, it's a belief in Christ, and it's wholehearted trust in Christ. Notice those three things that I emphasized there: a knowledge, a belief, and a trust. You know, I said earlier, I'm afraid with many, their whole religion has become sort of an empty profession of facts, without having any of these facts take root in the heart. John Calvin once said that the facts sort of hop around in the top part of the brain, but they never take root in the depths of the seat of the heart. That's a greater problem than we can imagine. True faith, then, not only includes mere knowledge and assent to truths. Oh yes, knowledge is important. There are people today who scorn the word doctrine, but you can't get to the heart without going first through the head. The head is where the collection of facts come, and then it should penetrate right to the heart to a changed life. So true faith not only then includes knowledge about what the Bible teaches, knowledge about what is the core doctrines of the Christian faith, knowledge about Christ and Him crucified, and it not only includes assent to those truths, saying that I believe those truths. So you have knowledge and assent. It's not just saying then I believe, but it's a deep leaning upon Jesus, a resting upon Jesus, trusting Him for all that He has said to you. There's a big difference from saying that one believes and actually believing that results in this kind of leaning and falling upon Christ. Let me give you one more analogy today. It's like a man who was able to walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Everyone on the side was cheering this man on, but there was one particular man who said to him before he went across, "I know you can do it. You are the greatest at this. I'm surely confident that you can walk across Niagara Falls on this tightrope." Well, the man who was doing it said, "If you know it, get on my back and let's go across." "No way," said the guy. You see, surely he believed that the man could do it, but he was not willing to give him his whole trust. Do you see the difference? There are many who say that they believe in Jesus, and they'll look to Him for His deliverance. They'll look to Him for His miracles. They have a sort of historical faith, but they're not willing to lean upon Him. They're not willing to trust in Him as all of what He said in His Word. You see, true faith is a casting of yourself as a sinner upon this Christ. It is the hand that receives the blessings of Christ. It is resting and leaning upon Him for whatever you may be going through. It is fully committing yourself to Him, letting go of your vain attempts to save yourself, and fully embracing in full trust all that He has said to you in His Word. Why do you think Jesus had to say to His own disciples, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven"? A little child believes what his parents tell him, don't they? Doesn't he? They don't doubt. And that sort of leaning upon Christ is what true faith is all about. It's full trust in Him, receiving that outstretched arm of faith, the benefits that He gives in looking to Him. Well, listen to William Gurnall. This was a very jolting statement when I first read it. "Judas knew the scripture," says Gurnall. "He knew the scriptures. And without a doubt, he did assent to the truth of them. So he said, 'I believe in the scripture.' Sure he did, right? But Judas never had so much as one drachma, any bit," is what he's saying, "of justifying faith in his soul. Assent to the truth of the word is but an act of the understanding which devils may exercise." So just saying you believe, even the devils do that, right? James says that. "But justifying faith," says Gurnall, "has its seat both in the understanding and the will, and therefore is called believing with the heart." Yes, believing with all the heart. And that's why we want to fill our children with the children's minds with the knowledge of the gospel. That's why we catechize. That's why we memorize the Bible. That's why we want to impress these truths in the mind. We should never react today to memorizing truths. I know that's a lost art in our culture, but we're praying that these very truths that are put in the mind take root in the heart. And that's when the Spirit chooses to do that. And when He does, it's going to produce a changed life. But without that knowledge, it won't come. And I'm afraid that we've so reacted to doctrine, to knowledge, to catechism, whatever it might be when it comes to the truths of the Christian faith, that we've ripped off the starting point for many people. We immediately want to penetrate to the heart without first going through the mind. You see, have you believed so in the heart to have a changed life? Well, it comes then as true faith comes in a knowledge and assent and heartfelt trust in Christ. It is the nature of faith to believe God at his bare word, isn't it? As John Trapp once said, it will not be, says our senses. It cannot be, says our reason. It both can and will be, says faith, for I have a promise for it. You see that heartfelt leaning and trusting in Christ? That is faith. How much has God said to us in these first chapters of Ephesians? How many promises are here outlined in the Bible for the Christian? Of election, of adoption, of redemption, of forgiveness of sins, of heaven, of the inheritance of the Holy Spirit. Of all this power in the present, do you believe it? Are you leaning on your Lord so much as to know that these things are yours, and are you living in the power of them? When you die, so that you know that when you die, he will take you away into glory. He said these things to you today, and they are true. Faith says, I believe and embrace this Jesus because I have one who made it sure. So where are you today, my friends? Do you know this Christ? Again, have you believed in this Jesus? The call from Jesus right at the beginning of his earthly ministry was repent, turn from your sins, and believe in me. Repent and believe. That is heartfelt trust in Jesus alone. You've seen it in the Bible time and time again. Broken sinners coming to Jesus and finding life. And you see it on the last picture of before Jesus died on the cross with that thief on the cross, hands tied behind his back, or hands nailed to the cross, feet nailed to the cross, not able to do one work. And Jesus said to him, when he believed in Christ, today, you will be with me in paradise. Do you believe Jesus for all he has said? Are you leaning upon him alone for salvation? Well, one of our great purposes in bringing this radio broadcast to you is that you would find a church home where Christ is preached in season and out of season, that the glorious truths of the gospel are being heralded from the pulpit of the man who preaches to you, that he's not up there seeking to tickle your ears or give you the lies of this present evil age with entertainments. Those things are damaging to the soul and ultimately terribly destructive. We need a return to the preaching of Christ and him crucified. We need a return to expositional working through the passages of Scripture to show us this Jesus. We give you a hearty invitation to join us this Sunday for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.